If you have your Bible today and you want to read the setting of Scripture that we are going to share, turn over with me to the book of Judges, chapter 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with the 8th verse. When you got it, say amen. Sounds like a consensus to me, all right? So Judges chapter 2, verse number 8 through verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation," now listen to that, "and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods and the gods of the people that were round about them, and they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the anger of the Lord." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you would bow your heads and let us pray one more time as we prepare to deliver the ministry of the word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for the presence of your Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt. If we have praised and lifted our voices and sang unto you, and as we have worshiped and lifted our hearts, we have felt your Holy Spirit and your tender presence here with us. And for that we are grateful and we are thankful. And Lord, we come now to the reading of your word. And Father, we come now to the ministry of the word of the living God, and I pray that you would cause me to be effective of my own self. I am inadequate and I can do nothing, but if you will touch me, if you will anoint me with your Holy Spirit, if you will inspire my thoughts and put your words in my mind and in my mouth and let them come forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit with simplicity and with power to bring clarity and revelation to our hearts. Let Christ be lifted up. Let the people of God be glorified and edified. Let Jesus be glorified in our midst. And Father, for all of these things, we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask them in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Passing the Baton. Passing the Baton. The scriptures that we have shared today tell us of a time when the leaders that had shaped a nation were now gone. Moses, the great man of God and the great lawgiver and the leader of the Exodus, he has died and he is gone. His successor, Joshua, the great conqueror Joshua, who actually picked up the mantle of Moses and led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, conquered Jericho and conquered the rest of the land of Canaan so that the people of God could inherit what God had promised them. Joshua, the son of Nun, had died at the age of 110. And we are told here in verse number 10, We are told that also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. That whole generation of people. When God began to lay this word upon my heart, I began to think back and I could see this generation of people in my mind's eye. This was the generation that had feasted on the manna from heaven. This was the generation that had stood at the banks of the Jordan River at the command of Joshua, and they picked up the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priest's feet stepped into the river, the Jordan was at harvest time, and it was overflowing its banks. And yet the Bible tells us that when the priest's feet hit the river of the Jordan River, it stood up upon a heap. In other words, it just stopped flowing and started stacking up. The Bible said it stood upon a heap, and the river dried up, and the people of God walked across on dry ground. This generation saw that. They were eyewitnesses to it. This is the same generation that supernaturally watched as God brought down the walls of Jericho. This was the generation that had received the marching orders from God and from their leader Joshua to march around the walls of the city of an impenetrable wall. And he said, march around the city for 6 days, one time, and go home. On the seventh day, march around it seven times, and don't anybody say a word. And then on the seventh time, blow the shofar, and God supernaturally brought down the walls of the city. This generation was a participant in that. They saw the mighty hand of God. They saw the miracles that God had performed, but now that generation has all been gathered unto their fathers. That generation has died and they are gone. The Bible tells us that generations will indeed rise and fall, meaning that there will be a time of coming and going. Amen. But I want you to just stop and think for a moment. This is a generation that literally felt and literally enjoyed the very presence of God in their midst. And they saw the hand of God. They witnessed the miracles of God, but now that generation is all been gathered unto their fathers. They are all gone. And the Bible says that there arose another generation. There arose another generation. The children of that generation had now become the prominent leaders of the nation. The children of that generation who witnessed the presence of God and the miracles of God, the children of that generation had now taken their place in society. They were now the rulers of the kingdom. They were now the rulers of the nation. They were now the advisors of the nation. But something was checked in my spirit as I read these verses, and the Lord began to talk to me about the message this morning. The Bible said, but the new generation, there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. Wow. There arose another generation that knew not the Lord. First thing that popped into my mind is how terrible it is that a nation of God-fearing people that had witnessed the power of God, how could they come to such a place where there arises another generation that doesn't even know who God is? Can I tell you something this morning? We are living it in this life today. How terribly sad, how horribly heartbreaking that it is that the people that had once experienced the power and the presence of God have now come to the place in their life where they do not even know who God is, and there is no presence of the Lord, and there is no miracles, and there is no divine presence in their midst. There arose another generation that knew not the Lord. First of all, how terribly sad. Second of all, how could it happen? How could it be? How could it happen that a nation that had so enjoyed the blessing of God, think about it for a moment, a nation that had literally been delivered from the iron-fisted grip of Pharaoh and brought out of Egypt's bondage and brought into the land of milk and honey and the land that flowed, amen, with abundance. How could they, amen, when they saw the miracles of God who kept them in the wilderness for 40 years, amen, the miracles that God performed at the Red Sea and the Jordan River and the walls of Jericho, how could they come to the place where they don't even know God? A generation of people arises that had never experienced the power of God in their midst. How could it be that a people that had once basked in the presence of the Lord could come to the place where they did not know him? And there can only be one answer. There can only be one answer, because I'm here to tell you this morning, God does not change. If God did, God does, and God forever will. Hello? That's what the Bible says, when he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything that he has ever done, he will still do, and he will forever do. So let me just tell you, there can only be one answer. The problem wasn't with God. The problem wasn't with God. There can only be one answer. The generation that did know God and served God and worshiped God and watched the miracles of God, that generation, they may have lived a successful relationship with their God, but they failed to pass the baton of their faith unto another generation. They failed to pass on the experience that they had enjoyed unto another generation. They may have lived a godly and successful life, but they failed to teach their children the importance of living for God. They failed to instruct them in the commandments of God, and they failed to pass the baton of their faith. And I came to tell you this morning, I submit to you that we must not just live a victorious and overcoming Christian life for ourselves, but it is imperative that we pass on our values, and it is imperative that we pass on our faith unto another generation that is up and coming. And I couldn't help but think of a relay race. And I want to ask you this morning to think about a relay race. Life is very much like a relay race. Ask or think about it in those kinds of terms this morning. In a relay race, a runner must not only run their leg of the race successfully, but they must also be a smooth transition of passing the baton off to the next runner. Amen. You may run your race wonderfully, but I'm here to tell you this morning that if you are not successful in handing off the baton of your faith onto the next generation, you may have enjoyed success, but I'm going to tell you the race is all over. There must be a transfer. There must be a successful, smooth transition. Amen. It doesn't matter how fast and how successful that the first runner might be in his leg of the race. If the baton fails to be successfully passed, he went on to the next runner. The race is over. There's got to be a transfer. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that the same thing is true with you and I and with our children and with those that God has placed in our life to be an example to. Amen. We must, as fathers and mothers, we must pass from one generation on to another the knowledge and the wisdom to follow and serve God. Dads, it is our responsibility. It is moms, it is your responsibility to take our children up in our arms and love them and correct them and instruct them and give them the knowledge of how to live, amen, and the knowledge of why they should live for God. It is our responsibility to teach them how to keep the commandments of God. It is our responsibility this morning to teach them the importance and the power of prayer. It is our responsibility to teach them how to live a godly life and instruct them in the importance of God's word and teach them how to walk by faith and not by sight. And let me just tell you this morning, we need to teach them by our example and not just what we say. Amen. How many of you know, amen, the old saying, a picture paints a thousand words. Don't just tell them what's right. Show them what's right. I've heard people say, well, I send my children to the house of God. Well, shame on you. Get up and take them yourself. Hello? Let me tell you this morning, our children will follow our example. And if it is not important to you, it will not be important to them. Hello? If it is not important to you, it will not be important to them. And each one of us, amen, who are here in the house of God this morning are here because somebody showed us the importance of serving God. Somebody showed us the relevance, and somebody showed us and instructed us that it was necessary to have a relationship with God. None of us are here this morning by accident. We are here because somebody handed down the baton of faith and said, live for Christ. Hey, amen. I am here today because both sets of my grandparents thought it was important to take their children, my parents, to the house of God. I can remember my mother and my father telling me stories of how that they would get around and get the chores accomplished and walk several miles to church. And somebody said, I know, both uphill, both ways. No, I'm telling you, it was that important to them. I can remember my father telling the story when he was a young man, how that he stole an apple in the grocery store and no one saw him. And on the way home, he said, I pulled that apple out of my pocket. And his mother, my grandmother, looked at him and said, where did you get that? He said, I took it at the grocery store, and they were already halfway home. He said, my mother turned me around, my grandmother marched me all the way back, a mile and a half, all the way back to the grocery store. He meant to give an account of myself and tell the man that owned the store I was sorry. Amen. Why? Because she felt like it was important to instruct him in right and wrong. Amen. It might have been inconvenient, but she knew that she had to teach and instruct. I came to tell you this morning, we need to instruct and teach and hand down to our children a godly lifestyle. And if we don't hand it down, if we don't pass the baton, amen, it doesn't matter how successful you are for living for God, but if you don't hand it down when you die and they put you 6 feet under, it will all be over. But if you will pass the baton of faith on to them, your race may end, but they'll keep right on running. You hear what I'm saying this morning? I am here because my grandparents thought that it was important to instruct and teach my parents how to live a godly life. I am here this morning because my mother and my father felt that it was necessary to get me up out of the bed on Sunday morning and haul me to church, whether I liked it or not. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, they felt like it was important enough to get me up and get me motivated and get me to the house of God. I thought about my father today. As I was studying this morning, I thought about my father today who has passed away. Spent over 50 years in the ministry. Preached his heart out, but I watched him live what he preached. And I thought to myself this morning, thank God that he instructed me and taught me and whipped my backside when it was necessary and brought me up in the admonition of the Lord, because he handed his baton of faith off into my life. And I could almost see him this morning in my mind looking over the balcony of heaven saying, run, Gary, go. You got this. Go on, boy. Keep on running. Keep on living for Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are here this morning because somebody thought that it was important to impart unto us the knowledge and the ability, amen, to know that it was necessary to serve God. I'm here today, amen, because of those that invested in my life. You are here today because of those that invested in your life. And now I come to encourage you, invest in the life of those that are around you. Invest in the life of your children. Invest in the life of those that are looking up to you as an example. And be an example of Jesus Christ. And when you run your race, you hand off that baton and let those, amen, who have followed your footsteps keep right on marching in faith until Christ comes. There is a greater work for our lives than just becoming successful. There is a greater calling in our lives than just becoming a great Christian. You could be a great Christian, have a successful walk with God. You can be successful in your business affairs. You can be great in the eyes of the community. But if you fail to teach your children how to live for God, you are nothing more than a successful failure. Hello? The number one priority for you and I is to pass on a godly heritage. Let me just tell you this morning, our scripture says that there arose a generation that did not know God. How could that be? because the generation that did know God failed to pass it on, failed to hand the baton off to the next leg of the race. And I can see this correlation with our text and in the current situation or the current condition of our world. How many of you know that there is a direct connection between the breakdown of our society that we see in the world today and the failure to pass the baton of faith off to a new generation? Far too many individuals have forsaken the principles of God and the values of faith for the values of this world, and the evidence is all around us. There is a moral breakdown in society. There is a moral breakdown, a moral discrepancy in the society that we live in. Drugs and alcohol are being used to destroy many lives. Divorce is just as popular in the church as it is among unbelievers. Hello? Something is wrong. There's unprecedented gun violence, date rape and murder, and people have forgotten how to blush. Amen. I don't know if you can remember back in the 50s, but I Love Lucy and the other guy, they didn't even sleep in the same bed, and they were supposed to be married. They didn't want to portray such things on television. Now you can turn something on and it ain't nothing but rot gut. Hello? Why? Because we have, amen, just continued to receive the values of the world and failed to pass down a godly heritage. And we have forgotten how to blush. People have left the principles of right and wrong to the point where everything in our society nowadays, they call good evil and evil good. Hello? Things that would have not have been mentioned in years gone by are fodder for the tabloids. Virtue and values are considered outdated and old-fashioned because parents are failing to pass on the values of a godly life, and Hollywood and the mainstream media are handing down their value system unto our children, mom and dad. It's our responsibility to pass the baton of our faith on to them. That's why we see guns in schools. People have lost their value system. There's rising a generation of people that don't know right from wrong. Why? Because they kick prayer out of school and they're trying to drag the Ten Commandments off of every monument, amen, that stands. Why? Amen, they don't want to hear it. And it's having consequences. Condoms are being passed out like candy. Virginity is mocked and promiscuity is exalted as something to achieve to. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? If I had young people sitting in this place, amen, I would tell you, young lady, the next time that you are out on a date and your boyfriend starts turning into a pair of hands, smack him upside the head so hard, amen, that his ears ring like chapel bells, and let him know you're a child of God, and let him know you are a lady. Young man, next time you take that young lady out on a date, amen, amen, don't, let me just tell you, if you will treat her like a lady, she will appreciate it if she is a lady. And if she's not, you don't want her anyway. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that virginity and virtuous values are mocked and promiscuity is exalted. But I'm here to tell you this morning, those things are a treasure from God. And rather giving them away to a hormone with a hat, hang on to your godly values, and hang on to your godly virtue, and hang on to the word of God, and live right in the sight of the Lord. And let's teach our children the difference between right and wrong. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand something this morning. God warned his generation, or this people, about it. God warned them about it. This is what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6 and 7. God said to the children of Israel through Moses, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt diligently teach them unto your children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in your house. Thou shalt speak of them when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, God was saying, talk about what is right and what is wrong from sun up unto sundown. Amen. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, amen. When you lay yourself down at night, and when you rise up in the morning, amen. Always be instructing, amen, the difference between right and wrong. Teach them diligently. Oh, let me just tell you, you say, "Pastor, that's Old Testament." Hop over in the New Testament with me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord." Amen. I'm going to tell you, it takes more than just a male to be a father. Amen. You can be a male and be a dad. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're going to be a father loves and instructs and teaches and leads in the right path. And we must teach the importance of living for God so that they will understand. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was raised in church. When I got old enough to do my thing, I thought, okay, I'm going to go do my thing. And mom and dad just loved me and let me go. Like the prodigal. But you know what? I got out there doing my thing, and I found out that there was something missing on the inside. And I knew all along what it was. You know why? Because I had already been drained up in the way that I should go. And I was getting a little older, and my heart was dragging me back. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Doesn't mean that he won't turn around and walk away, but it means that somewhere along the line, the seed that has been sowed, the Holy Spirit is going to cause it to sprout, and they will come running back to God. I remember years ago, and those of you that have been in the marriage class have heard me talk about this revelation that the Lord gave me when all three of my boys were very small. My wife and I had remodeled our old house, and in order to remodel it, we had to tear everything up. I mean, we had to cut down trees and put in a new septic system, and just, I mean, before we got anything built, it looked like a bomb went off. We finally got it all built and put back together, and on the west side of the house, I planted some trees on the west side of our property. And one day I was out in the yard. I had planted four trees right along back, and they were all in a row on the west side of the house to block that evening sun. One day I was in the yard, and I'm messing around planting flowers or doing something and doing some weeding or something out there. And I was praying. I said, God, help me to be a good father. Help me to be a good example to my children. Help me to walk uprightly and help me to emulate Christ so that they see you in me. Help me to impart unto them wisdom and understanding so that one day they will rise up and be a blessing in society and a blessing to the kingdom of God. And it just so happened that I was right in line with those trees, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And as I looked up, and I looked at those trees when I looked up, and all four of those trees leaned just a little bit to the east. And when I looked at it, the Lord spoke to me and said, be consistent and they'll lean the right way. And I looked at that, and immediately, you know, the Bible talks about a word of knowledge. God can give you just one word and it opens up a whole avenue of understanding. He just said, be consistent and they'll lean the right way. And immediately I knew why all four of those trees leaned a little bit to the east. How many of you know we have this little constant breeze in the spring coming from the west? And that little breeze blowing against the trees caused every single one of them. It wasn't a kind of a wind. It was just a simple, consistent little breeze out of the west. And it made every one of those trees lean toward the east. And God said, listen, just be consistent and they will lean the right way. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, I am so grateful to God that he gave me the ability to endeavor to be consistent and all three of my sons lean the right way. Amen. Somebody said the other day, he said, Brother Gary, you must be so proud of your children. I said, you know what? It's not a testament to me. It's a testament to them because they were wise enough to hear good counsel. Hello? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm here to tell you, if you will be consistent in your walk with God, your children will lean the right way. They may not always do what pleases you, and they may not always make you pop your buttons with pride, but if you will do what's right in the sight of the Lord and live a godly life and hand down a godly heritage, there will come a day when they will walk in the right way. They will pick up that mantle or that baton of your faith, and they will lead the right way. Now, let me just tell you this morning that the Bible teaches that the children are the heritage of the Lord. Psalms 127, verse number 3, says that children are the inheritance or the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Wait a minute. I thought he'd give them to us. No, he just give them to us on loan. They are not ours. They are his. They are his inheritance. They are his reward. That word heritage means that your children are an inheritance and they are his possession. Understand this morning that our sons and our daughters do not belong to us, but they belong unto God. And there will come a day when God will require of them, amen, or God will require of us that we raise them in the right manner and instruct them in the right way, that when they grow up and they grow to maturity and understanding, his inheritance will come unto him. Amen. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 15 and verse number 24, you choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that each one of us are running a race. But if we don't pass on the baton of our faith to our children, then when we are dead and gone and buried, there will arise another generation that does not know God. We are seeing it all around us. The Bible not only teaches that the children are the heritage of the Lord, but the Bible teaches that they are an arrow in the quiver of man. Psalms 127, verse number 4 and verse number 5 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they will speak with their enemies in the gate. And I couldn't help but think for a moment about that imagery. God says that our children are like arrows in our hand. Amen. Why does God compare our children with arrows? Amen. And the fact of the matter is that it is because that long after we are gone, our children will carry on. Amen. From where we are standing. Amen. We are standing here, but if we take them and put them in the bow of the gospel and draw back and let them fly, brother, they will do greater things than we have ever dreamed about. My desire for my children is to exceed far above anything that I have ever imagined or dreamed that I could accomplish. My desire is to take them and encourage them and propel them much farther and do greater things for the kingdom of God than what I have been able to accomplish. I encourage you this morning, take your children in the bow of God's word, in the bow of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and draw back and push them forward and let them fly on and achieve things that you've only dreamed of. Hallelujah. Think for a moment about David and Solomon. Here is an example of what I'm saying or what I'm talking about. David wanted to build a temple for God, and God said, not so. Not going to happen. David said, but oh God, I dwell in a palace and your presence dwells in a tent. I want to build you a temple. I want to build you a house. God said, it's not for you to build, but I'll take your arrow. I'll take your son, Solomon, and I'll let him build the temple. I'll let him build the sanctuary. David got behind it and said, all right, God, that works for me. Amen. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to collect silver and gold and all kinds of wood and precious things, and I'm going to stock it up so that when my arrow, my son, begins to build that temple, he'll have more than enough. Hey, let me just tell you, we may not accomplish everything that we want to accomplish in life, but if we'll pass on the baton of our faith, God will allow them to take up the mantle and go on and accomplish what we've had in mind. Amen, amen, amen. Now let me just say for a moment this morning that it is a twofold responsibility. Because there are some parents that have endeavored to teach their children right and wrong. There are parents that have endeavored to instruct their children. And I'm just going to tell you, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Hello? I mean, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink it. So let me just tell you what the scripture says about children taking heed to their parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and that you may live long upon the earth. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, The wisest man of the word, Solomon, who wrote, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them around your neck." And then he goes on to say, "And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." Amen. "And reproofs of instruction are the way to life." Amen. I came to tell you this morning, train up your children in the way that they should go and be a living example. And when you leave this earth, you'll pass down a godly heritage and a godly instruction. Oh, God, help us to never come to the place. Help us to never come to the place where there raises a generation that does not know God, that does not know Him. It can happen, but it can only happen if we fail to make the transition of our faith into our children's lives. It will only happen if we fail to hand off the baton. Again, I want to bring you back to that relay race. The Summer Olympics, I believe they're this year. They'll be having all kinds of relay races. I hope when you watch them, if the Lord tarries, you'll remember this message. But the runner gets on his mark. He is put everything aside so that nothing weighs him down. He is trained. And when that pistol goes off and starts the race, he is flying down the track with everything that he's got, everything that is within him. Everything that is within him, he is striving to run his leg of the race. On the other end, there is another runner that is set and just waiting for the handoff and just waiting for the baton. I'm here to tell you this morning, it probably seems like an eternity for that second runner just waiting for the handoff, but it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Amen. And when there is a transition of that baton, the race must go forward. If they drop the baton, if they fail to make the connection, the race is over. They'll never succeed. Hello? I came to tell you this morning, pass the baton of your faith on to those who are around you. And strive to do it with everything that is within you, because eternity is hanging in the balance. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Father, our children are the heritage of the Lord. They are arrows in our quiver, but they are only on loan to us. And what we teach them and what we instruct them and how that we prepare them for their leg of the race will determine their success. Help us this morning, Lord, to live a life of righteousness in your sight, covered in the blood of Christ. Help us this morning, oh God, to run our leg of the race successfully. But God, ultimately help us pass the baton of our faith onto those who will follow, onto those who will come after we are gone. Help us to teach them how to walk upright in the sight of the Lord. Help us to teach them the importance of the word and the importance of prayer and the necessity of relationship with your Son. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Quicken our spirits. Help us to raise a generation that knows who you are, that are familiar with your presence, and a generation that is touched by the power of your Spirit, and not a generation that does not know who you are. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I may be running my race, but I haven't been as diligent as I should be, passing on this godly and wonderful inheritance that I've received. Are there any hands and you'd say, that's me. God bless you and you and you and you. Anyone else? God bless you. Would you be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, before God, I ask him right now this morning to help me. Help me not only to run my race successfully, but help me to pass on to my children and my grandchildren. And those that come after me, help me to hand off a positive, powerful baton of faith so that they will know who you are. If that's you, slip up your hand. Say, Lord, I want to be that one. I want to be that one. I want to be that one. Stand up on your feet. Father, you have seen our hands and you see our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning that those that have a desire to leave a godly heritage, those that have a desire to pass on their faith and their instruction and their wisdom unto an up and coming generation, empower them to do it. Empower them to succeed. And those of us, Lord, that look at our hearts and say, we may not be doing everything we could. Father, this is just a reality check. Help us to set aside some of our inconsistencies and strive to run the race and hand the baton off to the next generation a little more. Thank you for pointing out the error of our way. Touch our hearts, we ask. Touch our spirits, we ask. In the name of Jesus, just slip your hands right up toward heaven this morning, all over the building, and just talk to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Help me to hand off this baton of faith.